Approximately 150 years ago, there were two German bishops gathered together. One was visiting his brother bishop in his diocese in Germany. And the visiting bishop was a man renowned for his holiness of life. He had accomplished many extraordinary feats in his diocese. And so the attending bishop says to him, "You know, how did you do it all? It's amazing what you've accomplished." And he looks at him and he says, "Do you want the truth? I owe thanks for everything that I have done to the prayer and sacrifice of a woman whom I don't even know. I can only say that I know that she has offered her whole life to our loving God for me. And I have this sacrifice to thank that I even became a priest in the beginning." And he goes on to tell his brother bishop the story when he was a young man. He had just finished law school. And he was so excited to go out and make his mark on the world, to accumulate great wealth, make a name for himself. And one night while he was sleeping, has a vision. And he says, "I don't know if it was a dream or if I was awake, but it was totally real. It was the most vivid dream, if it was a dream, that I've ever had." He said, "Our Lord Jesus Christ appeared to me. And he opened up his side and showed me his sacred heart. And I looked down, and at his feet was a young nun with her hands folded, and she was praying fervently." He said, "It was so real that I remember all the details of her face. I recall her calloused red hands, her worn and torn habit. And our Lord looked at me right in the eyes, and he said, 'She prays for you without ceasing.'" He said, "When I awoke the next morning, I knew that I had to give my life to God. I wanted to consecrate myself completely to Him. It's why I became a priest." His brother bishop says, "Well, did you ever meet her? Do you know who she is?" He said, "I don't even know if she's alive. No, I've never had that privilege." He said, "I can only pray that if she is still alive, God bless her abundantly." As they were coming to the close of their conversation, the hosting bishop says, "You know, I'm getting up early in the morning and going to a local convent to celebrate Mass. You're welcome to join me." The other bishop says, that'd be great. I don't know that I would have time later in the day since I have to travel." During that Mass, as they're distributing Holy Communion, all of a sudden this visiting bishop is astounded when he sees the young woman from her vision, this young nun approaching in line for Holy Communion. He said, "Thankfully, her head was down, so she did not notice my face because I was shaken to my depths." He said, "Immediately after Mass, we gathered to meet all the sisters in the parlor. And I'm looking around, wondering, where is she? And I say to the Mother Superior, 'Mother, are all the sisters present?' She said, 'Yes, I've told them all to come.' And she looks around, she says, 'No, there's one who's not here.' He says, 'Well, why didn't she come?' She said, 'Well, she works in the stalls. And she works so diligently and fervently that she oftentimes is forgetful.' He said, 'I would like to meet that sister.' And so he goes into a side parlor, a private parlor. And this sister comes in a few minutes later. And he looks at her and he says, 'Sister, do you know me?' And she looks at him and she says, 'I'm sorry, Bishop, I don't think I've ever seen you before.' He said, 'Have you ever prayed for me?' And she said, 'Bishop, no offense, I don't think I've even ever heard of you.' And he's surprised by this. And he says, 'Can I ask you, do you have any particular devotion that you practice?' She said, 'Yes, I have a great love for the Sacred Heart.' He said, 'Sister, it seems like your task in the convent is the most difficult.' And she said, No, Bishop, but I must admit that sometimes it's very unpleasant.' He said, 'Sister, what do you do when you have temptations against your duties?' She says, 'For things that cost me greatly, I have grown accustomed to facing them with great joy and enthusiasm out of love for God. And I have asked Him to offer all my prayers and sacrifices for one soul, whomever He chooses.' He said, 'Sister, where did you learn that?' And she said, 'When I was a young girl in Catholic school, our teacher taught us that your prayers and sacrifices could benefit the entire body of the church.' Then I decided when I was a little girl that I wanted Jesus to give all my prayers and sacrifices just to one person, whomever he desired. And so I've entrusted them my entire life to his sacred heart. He said, "Sister, can I ask you how old you are?" She said, "I'm 33. He said, "What day were you born on?" And he almost began to weep when the date of her birthday was the date of his vision, the date of his conversion. He said, "Sister, do you know for whom you pray?" She said, "I don't." He said, "Would you like to know?" She said, "I would prefer not to. That secret is our Lord's. I've given it to him my whole life. I don't want to know." My brothers and sisters, this story gets to the heart of the mystery of the church. That we are all united. That we are all one. As St. Paul says in the second reading, as a body, though it has many members, is just one body. So also are we in Christ. Mother Teresa of Calcutta would say it this way. One time a group of people came out to Calcutta for a week to try to help her out. And at the end of this week, they said, "Gosh, Mother, we wish we could give our whole lives to this. This would be great." And she said, "What I do, you cannot do. But what you do, I cannot do. Yet together we can offer something beautiful to God." Just think in a parish. How does a parish function? You have an altar society. You have a bereavement committee. You have a liturgy council. You have lectors. You have extraordinary ministers. You have the school, the teachers, the sisters, the students, the parents of the students, who I know dedicate their time with great joy to the school. Everyone operating as one. And what if there is a weakness in one part of the unit? Everyone else suffers from that. Or if there is something that is very strong, everyone else is elevated. And what is true at the level of the parish is true at the diocese, is true for the church universal. Everything we do affects the entire body of Christ. St. Paul said it in this way. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. If one part is honored, all the parts share in its joy. A lady one time came to me and she said, "Father, there's something that the church teaches is a sin that I am guilty of." And she said, "But Father, I don't get what the big deal is. I do it in my own home. No one ever sees it. It doesn't harm anybody else except perhaps for me. Why does it matter if I do that?" Because we are one body. And when one member sins, the entire body is wounded by that sin. We are not isolated. And that is all the more true of virtue. The tiniest little act of virtue that any member of the body of Christ performs. An act of charity or patience. An act of kindness. It benefits the whole church. Actually, I just had a school parent contact me recently. She and her family were talking about the upcoming season of Lent. And one of her boys, who's in our junior high, he says, "Mom, you know, for the last couple years, I've slept on the floor for an act of sacrifice for the season of Lent." He said, "You know what, after doing it for 2 years, it's not even hard anymore. So this year, I'm not only going to sleep on the floor, I'm going to do something extra." And immediately when that mom told me that, I thought, imagine how that little boy is gaining graces for the entire church. What is the greatest thing that any person could ever do? What has the most value in the eyes of God? It is an act of love. And what is the highest act of love that one could ever offer? It is the love of the Son offered to the Father, which we do every week at Mass, and then we receive that love into our souls when we receive Christ. And when we receive our Lord, there is an impulse of love that flows throughout the body of the church. Every time we receive Holy Communion, it's the greatest thing that we could ever do for everyone we know. Because it doesn't affect just us. And I want to close with this. St. Paul says every part of the body is essential. You know, sometimes if you ask somebody, how are you doing? And they say, well, gosh, my kidney's failing, but the rest of me's good. Well, that kidney's going to affect everything else, ultimately. Or, you know, I've got a migraine, but I'm doing all right otherwise. Well, that migraine is going to keep your whole body in bed the whole day long. Every part affects every other part. Everyone is essential because only you could offer the love that you have for God and for neighbor. No one else can give what you have to offer because no one else is you. And I close with this. One time a group of people were visiting St. Maximian Kolbe. At the time, he was the head of the largest monastery in the world. He had roughly 700 Franciscan friars living with him, whom he was overseeing, because they had a publishing house, which was the largest publishing house in the world at that time. And so these visitors come and they give him a tour of the whole grounds. And at the very end, he says, now I want to take you where the most valuable and intense work is done in our monastery. And the visitor's thinking, well, gosh, we've seen everything, haven't we? And he brings them to the infirmary. And he shows them the brothers who are sick. And he says, these sick brothers, forced into inactivity, are the most useful to us. Because with their sufferings, they draw down upon us the most choice blessings of God. May we ask our Lord for the grace to do our part in building up the body of Christ, the church.